Christmas. You know, one of the worst feelings in life is to have to wait. That is one of the worst feelings, especially when you have something that you're excited about, something that you're anticipating, something like Christmas. It's really hard to wait. A good friend of mine recently sent me this picture. His daughter, Emma, is terrible at waiting, especially when it comes to opening her presents. And every year on Christmas morning, Emma, with the stealth of a ninja, would wake up before the sun was up, before anybody else was stirring, and she would hurry down to the tree, and she would grab every one of her presents and shake, rattle, and roll it, and peel back the paper just to see what was inside that present, just to catch a glimpse. And finally, after several failed attempts by her parents to explain that that's not how Christmas morning works, Santa wised up, and he began to wrap all of her presents with, well, all the bells and whistles. And so now at the age of 21, when Emma sneaks downstairs and picks up her present, everybody in the house knows. You know, whether we're waiting for those sugar cookies to come out of the oven or we've been counting down the days to Christmas, waiting is hard. And waiting is especially hard when we find ourselves waiting on God. I think most of us have found ourselves at one time or another in life praying for something, asking for something humbly from God, and then just having to wait for it. And when it doesn't come immediately, your heart and your mind begin to wonder, ask questions like, God, what's taking so long? But you remain patient, don't you? And you continue to pray, and you continue to ask, and you continue to wait. But when it still doesn't come, those questions in your heart and mind begin to shift a little bit. You begin to ask, God, are you still listening? God, have you forgotten about me? And God, do you even care? You know, maybe you've been praying for that promotion at work, hoping that all the hard work of the last year would finally pay off, and yet that promotion still hasn't come. Maybe you've been praying for that college student to finally graduate so you can get that instant pay raise that comes with college graduation. Maybe you've been praying for relief, relief from pain or sickness. And still, that relief hasn't come. Perhaps you've been praying for years for a spouse, and tonight you sit in this service still single. Maybe you've been praying for a child, and your arms remain empty. Or maybe you've been praying for peace to comfort that broken heart, because this is your first or yet another Christmas without your loved one. With all the yet unanswered prayers, it can feel like we're just kind of stuck waiting on God and wondering, God, what are you doing while we wait? You know, God's people throughout history were no strangers to waiting. In fact, it's kind of a hallmark of God's people, with over 100 different references to waiting in the scriptures tied to God's people. We are people who wait. It's part of who we are. And what might be surprising is that the waiting actually begins, well, at the very beginning. All the way back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, God gives to Adam and Eve his very first promise. It comes immediately after Adam and Eve disobeyed and plunged our world into darkness and into sin. God, in his love and his grace, came to them and gave them his very first promise, a promise of a Savior who would be the offspring of a woman, and a Savior who would come and conquer death and forgive sins. And for thousands of years, God's people waited. They waited for that promise to be fulfilled, wondering when it would happen. Fast forward in time, and yet again, God makes another promise tied to that very first one. And it comes through the great prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." It's a promise that the Savior would be God with us, that his presence would be in our lives. But with this promise came yet more waiting. Because for 700 years, God's people waited and watched and wondered. And they persevered through some of the darkest times, longing for God to fulfill his promise. They watched, they hoped, they wondered when God would move. And what made it so hard was that in this time of waiting, this 700 years, there was a period of 400 years in which God grew silent. He sent no prophets to speak, no signs to see, no miracles to show that he was still there, that he was still at work. And yet, he was at work. You know, that silence that the people endured is a silence I know that each of us here tonight has experienced. And it's that kind of silence. It's in those moments where we really begin to wonder, God, what are you doing while we wait? But then the time came. The moment where promises began to be fulfilled. Because we begin to catch a glimpse of God at work as the angel Gabriel comes with an appearance to Mary and Joseph, an announcement. With 9 months of waiting, the silence and the darkness was broken. And it was broken with a still small cry of a child born in Bethlehem in a lowly stable, a king laid in a manger. God with us. It was proof that God had fulfilled his promise from long ago that a Savior would come. 700 years of promise, 400 years of silence, 9 months of waiting, and finally, Jesus was born. Galatians chapter 4 puts it like this, "But when the set time had fully come, that perfect time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law." From Genesis to the birth of Christ, God has never stopped working. He's never stopped working in the world. He's never stopped working in his people. And he continues tonight to work in us, preparing room, making room for our Lord and Savior Jesus. You see, while the world waited, God worked. And when the time had come, he broke his silence, dispersed the darkness, and entered into our lives with just that cry of a small child. How long have you been waiting, hoping, longing, and wondering? Has it felt like God has been silent? If you've been waiting, you're not alone. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years to hold baby Isaac. Joseph from the Old Testament had a vision for leadership, waited 13 years to see it become a reality. Most of that time he spent in prison. A woman suffering from bleeding used everything she had, exhausted everything to find healing, and waited 12 years to touch the hem of Jesus' robe to find that healing. A paralyzed man waited 38 years to hear the words of Jesus, "Get up, go and take your mat. Your sins are forgiven." If you have been waiting, I want you to know that you're not alone. And I want you to know that God works in the waiting for us. You see, while we wait, God works. And what he does is he works to increase our trust in him. As people, we love to be in the know. We love to have control and know and hold on to the purpose of things. But many times in our lives, God kind of just pulls those things back. And he says to us, trust me. When Mary and Joseph got the news from Gabriel that they were going to have a baby, it turned their lives upside down. It derailed everything. That's why the angel said, do not be afraid. For 9 months, they waited for this child to come, trusting in God's greater purpose for their lives. While we wait, God continues to work. He continues to work in our lives, building anticipation. It's interesting because we tend to appreciate things that we've waited longer for. I think it's one of the reasons why kids get so excited about Christmas. They've been counting and waiting 25 long days to see what they have under the tree. Joy begins to build. The longer we wait, the greater the experience of joy can be. The shepherds tending their sheep at night had the angel host appear to them. And it was in that moment that they began to realize that the long-awaited promise of a Savior was being fulfilled right before their eyes. And with great joy, they ran off to Bethlehem to see what they had been told, to find this baby Jesus. And they left that stable rejoicing and praising God and telling everyone what had happened. You see, while we wait, God works. And he works drawing us ever closer to him through Jesus. You know, in all the years leading up to the birth of Jesus, few expected that God himself would come and take on flesh and blood and dwell or live among us. Few expected that he would walk and talk and eat with the very people that he came to save. It was really beyond what anyone could ever imagine or even comprehend. And even fewer expected that Jesus, the Son of God in flesh and blood, would go on to die for them. And that through his death, all their sins would be forgiven. And after a 3-day wait in the tomb, Jesus would conquer death and rise and give us eternal life. 700 years, 400 years of silence, 9 months of pregnancy, 3 days in the tomb, and God's promise of salvation had come. With the birth of Jesus, the waiting is over. The kingdom of God has come, and it comes to us and it comes to you tonight. Jesus comes into our lives this evening, and he brings light into our darkness, hope where there feels like there is no hope. He brings joy to our sadness and peace for our hearts. Tonight, as you and your family celebrate the birth of Jesus, in whatever waiting that you find yourself in, I want you to know that God is still at work in that waiting. Isaiah 64 tells us this. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. May your Christmas celebration and the birth of Jesus Christ continue to remind you that God is at work, fulfilling his great promises for those who wait on him.